Sermon on the Mount, message number 9. Jesus taught this sermon, and we are going through it as best as we can with the help of other scripture. It is really an exposition and not a meditation. We read in verses 31 and 32, "It have been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving or except for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." As you have seen, we have come to this controversial subject, which has caused many divisions and problems in the church. There are various positions held by the church concerning the matter of divorce and remarriage, some of which has caused serious church splits. As a matter of fact, I think that the Anglican Church began because a high profile figure wanted a divorce, and you can correct me on that, in the Catholic Church, and it wasn't permitted, and there was a split off. And today we have the Anglican Church as a result of that split off because of the marriage and remarriage. However, because we have come to this passage, we must deal with it directly and not evade the topic. The Bible says that God hates divorce. And if he hates divorce, it means that it is not right. But how must we handle this delicate issue today? Well, we can handle this issue from the perspective of Scripture. I am not an expert on the subject. I have counseled people already on the subject, and this is the position that I have held because of conscience and Scripture. The Bible has a lot to say, has shed much light on the subject. People may seek to get around this passage in the Bible, but they have a whole lot of other scriptures to consider, because the Bible is wonderfully held together as one unit, one piece. Today, the world has destroyed the marriage institution because we have a perverted culture today. The church also has not helped in preserving the sacredness of marriage. They have manufactured reasons to support divorce. Reasons such as, like some reformers, as desertion, incompatibility, stress, and other trivial matters that the Bible has not mention to permit this action. Some churches have no problem in ordaining men in the ministry who are divorced, something that the Bible is strongly against. And if you read the Timothy text, you'll see that for yourself. Long ago, the church stood on the biblical view of marriage. But today, the church has caved in to expediency and pressure. Jesus twice in Matthew dealt with this subject here, and more extensively in chapter 19 of Matthew, and you should know these passages. There are many other commentaries, especially 1 Corinthians 7, that addresses the matter. It shows that this had always been a hot subject within the church. There are only two verses before us in Matthew chapter 5 that I've read to you in verses 31 and 32. There are only two verses that I would explain to the best of my ability, and I would also encourage you to turn to the scriptures that are offered that you can read for yourself. Whatever I'm sharing with you is from the Bible. It's not from a document, a reform document. It is from the Bible. Here in this passage, Jesus' words are clear cut. The law permitted a man to put away his wife if there was fornication or uncleanness. Of course, the Jews took uncleanness to mean anything. He must do so by presenting her with a document to bring to the authorities. There was no law, and let me emphasize, there was no law given to the woman to divorce her husband. You say, well, that's unfair. That ain't unfair. God is not unfair. Who dare you say that is unfair as a woman? Who dare us to say God is unfair? God knows what he's doing. And God knows why he's doing what he's doing. We need to see the broader picture. This law was given in Deuteronomy 24. And we will endeavor to bring out a few heads on this subject for the sake of clarity. Obviously, you will have to turn Deuteronomy 24, where the law was initially given that Jesus is quoting from or reading or presenting as the lawgiver. We read in Deuteronomy 24, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Listen carefully. When a man have taken a wife, and God is very clear, it means that a woman can't take a wife. Or a man can't take another man as his wife. Then a man have taken a wife and married her, not him. And it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he have found some uncleanness in her. Then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. Here you see clearly that the woman now, having given this bill, can marry another man. The text go on. In verse 3, and if the latter husband hit her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband died, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled. For that is abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. It seemed as though men could simply toss around their wives in this matter. And that's exactly how it happened in the time of Jesus, where women, you know, in that culture were treated in any old way. It was never God's intention for that. You and I may argue that this law seems one-sided and only favorable to the man, but God had his purposes forgiven this law, and I will show you, and you and I will see later why this law was introduced. It is not one-sided at all. God is setting up an action that he was about to take with national Israel. Nothing that God does is unfair or one-sided. But the first thing we see is that divorce was permissible in the time of Moses on the basis of infidelity or uncleanness or fornication. It was a conditional law. And obviously, I guess the man must have to bring some element of proof. Today, you and I got the luxury of DNA and all kinds of things to prove if people were in infidelity. We have proof that can nail people. But as we go on, I would also show you that that law is somewhat clarified today in our time. So the first point I want to make is that divorce was permissible in the Old Testament according to Deuteronomy 24 verses 1 through 4. The second thing that I want to bring to your attention is how divorce, the law was perverted. A perversion of the command. Like any privilege given, this one was perverted, where men were finding every reason to put away their wives. You may remember that the Pharisees came to Jesus in Matthew 19, that we will also turn to with this issue. We read in Matthew 19, beginning at verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? This is what they were doing. They were putting away their wives for every cause. She burned the food, go. Spillage on her dress because of her monthly uncleanness, go. That is what was going on. And they came to Jesus with this question. Should a man put away his wife for every cause? You can see that wives were put away for every cause because of perverted views of the law. But Jesus in Matthew 19 verses 4 and 5 enters the debate swiftly, saying in verse 4 of Matthew 19, he answered and said unto them, have you not read? He goes all the way back, not to Deuteronomy, but to Genesis. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Here where Jesus went to the originality of the institution. He said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall be cleaved to his wife, quoted by the Apostle Paul, and they two shall be one flesh. Our Lord brings us back to the first marriage and shows his intentions. Hypothetically speaking, can you imagine Adam divorcing Eve, his wife? Well, who else is he going to marry? An animal? That was the only thing else left for him to marry. How God is going to reproduce? How is he going to bring about his covenant plan? If Adam decided, look, you blew it because you eat the fruit, go. God knew what he was doing. Adam had no other option of marriage. There were no others around him but animals. Furthermore, there would have not been procreation. God in his wisdom. Matthew 19:6. Wherefore there are no more two but one flesh. What therefore God have joined together, let not man put asunder. You see what Jesus did? He answered the question. He says, No. Go back to Genesis when God instituted the marital institution. The Pharisees, by the way, in Matthew chapter 19, as we hope you have your finger in Matthew 19, the Pharisees were not satisfied with the dogmatic nature of Jesus' answer and continued their debate. You know, whenever you answer people dogmatically from the scriptures, there is always a debate and a confrontation. And here the Jews were not satisfied with the answer because it put them in a box. As a matter of fact, after the whole thing, you remember, Brother Curtis, what the disciples said? Well, it is good for us not to marry. Since you are nailing down the screws of marriage that way, it is good for them not to marry. And Jesus says, there are some eunuchs that are made eunuchs by God for the ministry. Verse 7, they said unto him, why did Moses, Matthew 19:7, why did Moses then command it to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Deuteronomy 24. Why did Moses do that? Verse 8, he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. In other words, because of your unsaved nature and your rebellion against me, Moses, or I, allow you to do that. And plus, he didn't say this, and plus, I had another reason coming, why I give you this law, because I was going to divorce you. Here is the reason why divorce was permissible. It was because of a hardened heart. You know, I've spoken to some men already who were separated from their wives legally. And I always encourage reconciliation. Verse 9 continues by showing the condition, Matthew 19, or grounds for divorce in the days of Moses. Jesus says, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except, not say, no, the other word is saving, it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. And whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Now you see something here that is not in the Deuteronomy text. The Deuteronomy text said the wife could marry again. Jesus tightened the screws and says no. Just as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7. And you should read these passages. Jesus first is in agreement with what is stated in Deuteronomy 24. We're looking at the subject, and we're looking at it under the head, the law or divorce was perverted, or the perversion of the law on divorce. It was perverted by the Jews and has become widespread in our day, where Christians are even divorcing their wives at will. But the word of God has not changed. When Paul addressed the subject in 1 Corinthians 7, he was very careful not to use the word divorce in conjunction with the wife. Note the text. Turn to 1 Corinthians 7, because you should read these passages of Scripture. Turn here with me to 1 Corinthians 7, 10 through 13. Here, the Apostle Paul, in addressing this matter, says, in beginning at verse 10, he says, and unto the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, just as Jesus said, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Divorce. Listen carefully. And let not the husband put away his wife. So he's addressing the church. Verse 12. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that doesn't believe, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not divorce her. You can't say, oh, my wife is unsaved, she don't want me to come to church. Let him not put her away. Verse 13. And the woman which have an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Notice that Paul didn't say put away. Notice he didn't say divorce. He said, let her not leave him. Different word. Because the woman had no grounds to divorce her husband. And that's why Paul was careful to say, let her not leave him. Because she couldn't divorce him. Today this is not happening. Because people is coming to me, and sometimes they want to put me in a box and put me against the wall to do something that I can't do, and then there's a big problem. They either leave the church or they stop talking to me. And all I'm asking us to do is let us look at the Bible, and if the church cannot uphold the scriptures, who else is going to do it? Who else is going to do it? Do you want somebody to do something like that? They got the gall to come to me and ask me to support something that I can't do. I hope you see how God was careful not to use put away in conjunction with the woman. And this is because the law was not given to the woman, but men have perverted the law. Okay, having seen the permissible nature of this action, whereby it was given in the law because of hardness of heart, having seen its perversion during the days of Moses and the days of the Lord, and in our day as well, let us look at one more point, final point, and that is God's purpose for permitting the action. God's purpose for permitting the action. We already saw God's purpose was because of the hardness of the heart, but there is another person. Deuteronomy is part of the ceremonial law. And because it is, Christ is in view. He has to be in view, Brother Cox. Do you understand? Because it is part of the ceremonial law, it has to do with Christ. He has to fulfill it. The first reason for God permitting this action is because he wanted legal grounds to divorce Israel, who had committed spiritual fornication again and again and again. Israel became engaged to God back at Sinai and vowed to serve him, but played the harlot, and God was going to respond. But because of the creation, ordination of the law, there was nothing inserted in the Bible for him to put them away. And God in his own wisdom introduced this law. God's law is for his purpose, not for man's purpose. All things he does is for his glory. God himself gave this law because it finds fulfillment in Christ, just as any other law. God now have legal grounds to marry the heathen Gentile. When God formally put away Israel and became married to the church, the law was fulfilled. And repeatedly in the Old Testament, we read that God put away Israel. As a matter of fact, we read in Isaiah, turn there with me, because I want you to read it. I want you to read your Bible. Turn to Isaiah 50, verses 1 and 2. We read these words, and let me get there to it. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 1 and 2. There. When you read these verses, you should understand them. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother divorced. Very clear. We also read in the Jeremiah promise, Jeremiah 31, how God used the past tense verb in relating to his former relationship with Israel, saying, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and bring them out of the land of Egypt, with which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. Here he uses, in Jeremiah 31, 31 and 32, he uses the past tense word, I was a husband. Not the present tense, I am. This is done to indicate the action God performed on adulterous Israel. He had a reason and a cause to do it legally. Now today, as we wind down, today, because that law is fulfilled, God will never put away his bride. You hear what I say? Today, because God, Christ has fulfilled the law, he is obligated to maintain his relationship with his bride. God is bound to his law never to leave or forsake his people. Christians should never seek the option of divorce. It provides security for the wife. The one thing my wife knows is that I have no option but to stay with her. It provides comfort and security and stability to the home and to the church. God knows what he's doing. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. When he gonna tell me, oh, we can't get back together, that's impossible, you don't know what happened, you ain't in that situation. Well, let me tell you something. God knows who to put in those situations. You hear what I say? God knows who to put in those situations. And when you look at them good, you'll see who are put in those situations. God would never put a faithful man who loves his church, who loves his Savior, who loves his God in those situations. You protect them. He knows who to put. And it's always the unfaithful, marginal ones that are put in situations to compromise. This is a serious letter. You say, but you never know. Suppose you come in there and in your house and see something. What are you going to do? Well, you do what God tell you. Learn to forgive. And as hard as it is, that's what you just have to learn. But like I said, God don't put everybody in those situations. God loved his people. Now, let me conclude with this. By just looking at this text, I say it's only two verses. I can exhaust this subject. I know you are sitting down there quietly. You may not believe what have been presented, but this is what I have presented. You may ask, but what about those people? They have nothing to do with that. We have to live on with those people who are in those situations. We have to minister to them the same way. We have to love them the same way. And we should not look down on anybody for that matter. It's just another sin that people commit. I want to bring some thoughts to you from what Jesus said by first showing you the clarity of Jesus' words. We read in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 31, "It have been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." This is clarity. As you can see, the Lord is abiding with what was said in Deuteronomy 24. He is the lawgiver, and he is clear. It have been said in Deuteronomy that whoever put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. This is what you should do. Just don't walk out and go. In our day, things are much different, but God's moral law on the subject has not changed, and Jesus, the law giver of the law, is explaining the law. There was a moral cause for divorce, not a social, not an economic, not any other cause, but a moral one. He goes on to say, "But I say unto you," the moral cause, the cause for divorce, verse 32, Jesus having made this clarification, gives the cause, and it is a moral cause he gives in verse 32, "But I say unto you," and this means now that what he is about to say carries more weight. He says emphatically, "But I, the lawgiver, say unto you in my explanation that whoever shall put away his wife except for the cause of fornication is causing her to commit adultery." You're putting that woman in a situation to sin. The moral cause is stated in the text. Fornication. Not desertion, not incompatibility, not stress, not financial bankruptcy. These are social issues and causes. So I've shown you two things. The clarity of Jesus' words, the cause for the action, and thirdly, the clarification of the law. Matthew 5:32. This is how we break the text into parts. Jesus now makes a clarification. "And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery." In the Old Testament, the divorced woman could have married. Here, Jesus clarifies that law, saying, "Whoever marries her that is divorced is committing adultery." You may say, "But you didn't go to the Corinthians text." I'm not going to it either, because it says the same thing. Back in Deuteronomy 24, the woman who was divorced could remarry. Some insist that Romans chapter 7, that agrees with this, is only an allegory. Let's look at Romans 7. Please turn to Romans 7. Let's look at it. And tell me what you think about it. "Know you not, brethren, for I am speaking to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth?" Verse 2, "For the woman which have an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. You see what Romans read and says? Grace? You read that? Some pastors insist, oh, brother, you can't use that. It's an allegory, and it cannot be used to build a doctrine on divorce. But Romans says exactly the same thing Jesus said in Deuteronomy. So those who seek to neutralize Romans 7 is not on solid ground, no matter how learned they are. Furthermore, there is no allegory given in Scripture, none, that the Bible doesn't convey a moral or spiritual truth. You ever notice Jesus built an allegory that isn't true morally or spiritually? Every allegory that Jesus spoke is true spiritually. So why would some dismiss Romans 7 as only allegorical and not teaching or basing the allegory on doctrine? You know why? They do this as an excuse. They are straining a gnat and swallowing a camel. They do this because multitudes in their congregation has done this. They don't want to upset nobody. So they neutralize Romans 7 and say you can't use it. Oh, I hope this isn't too high for you. If it is, I'll talk to you later. But we should know these things. Now today, how must we handle this issue in the church? You see, nobody can point their finger at anyone. God is gracious to His people. If we read our Bibles, we will know the will of God. If we insist on violating God's word, we are in trouble. And we are in big trouble if we insist. If we twist the word of God so that we can do what we want, we are in trouble. Now you may be here today and may not appreciate this explanation, this presentation. It is all right with me. You may not tell me. You like how some people sit down and they will never tell you, but it's okay. All I can say to you is to consider the passages we looked at. This is how I would counsel people in the church. But at the end of the day, no one can convince another person but God. I cannot convince any one of you. I've had these situations already. They're very hurtful. But this is the way, and this is how I would go. All I can do and all we should do is seek to be faithful. One last thought. As I said, and as I repeat, no one has the right to condemn another person for any infraction of the law, any misrepresentation, any misapplication of the law. God is merciful and can forgive any violation of the law, but we should be obedient to the law of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have attempted to bring this sermon to light, and we ask, O Lord, that you will write these words on our heart. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen.